And now on the record, we talked to somebody who's already here. She's immigrated here, lives in Tukwila. She's wondering what happens next. She's in a program known as DACA, Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. In the campaign, Donald Trump said he would end the DACA program. Graciela Nunez Pargas and her family came here from Venezuela when she was 7 years old. They had visas, but they overstayed and they lost their legal status. Now Graciela is 22 and a college graduate, and she told me the DACA program had a huge impact on her life just as she began her college career at the University of Washington.
I was immediately offered an undergraduate research assistant position at the political science department, and I was able to do voting rights research as an undergrad. And that's how it changed it. I went from just being a high school student to being a research assistant for the Department of Political Science. I was able to see a path ahead of me.
Because you had this DACA status?
Yes, because I was able to legally work in the United States, and I was able to wake up every morning and not think about the implications of deportation. That's how it changed it. I finally was able to see what I could do with my degree. I was able to see more of a path, a structured path into the American dream.
Now, we're not sure whether President Trump is going to eliminate the DACA program, Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. If that happens, what, practically speaking, what would that mean for you?
It would mean that now that I have my college degree, now that I have my BA in political science, that I went through all this struggle and all these years of studying, of hoping, of even working for the Hillary Clinton campaign as a field organizer and the Washington State Democrats, it would mean that I fought so hard to just go back to being under the shadows. Under the shadows or living in the shadows. That would mean that I would not be able to legally work in the United States anymore. I would no longer be a legal economic contributor to taxes or social welfare programs that get deducted from my paycheck. I will no longer be able to apply for jobs. And it will also mean that the likelihood of me having to get fraudulent documents to legally work in the United States, it would just completely vanish any sort of upward mobility I was hoping to get from the program.
If the Trump administration were to pull out this DACA program, you'd lose that status. What would be your next move?
I have no idea. I don't think I've planned that far ahead. Currently, I was approved until 2019, January 2019. So I feel like I'm going to just live on a very strict 2-year path of just uncertainty. And it's really difficult to think outside the box or think creatively about how I can not live in the shadows, but then at the same time live as a normal person without status. It's just really difficult balancing those two, and I'll probably see when the time comes, but I'm not quite sure what my plan is.
You don't have a criminal record that I know of?
No.
What do you feel like the odds are that you would be
deported? I don't think I might be deported I think he's going to turn this into a meritocracy. And he's even used the word merit-based. Like those kids, like these beautiful kids that have done these things. So I know that I at least, thankfully, I've chosen politics and I've been stable in politics and I've done it for the past several years. I have built valuable relationships and have shared my story and have shown people that I'm more than a story, that I'm more than my status, that I am here because I belong here, because this is my country. And if that were ever to happen, if I were ever to be in deportation proceedings, that I would just rally up the space of people that know me, that people that know more about me, and try my best to just stay in the country. But that should not be what undocumented immigrants have to resort to, because I've been very privileged to get access to these places.
What would be worse, being deported to Venezuela or living with the constant uncertainty of not knowing what's going to happen to you?
I feel like the risk of living in uncertainty is far lesser than living in Venezuela. Venezuela is just crumbling right now to pieces. And even all of my family members have left Venezuela to other places like Argentina, Panama, Madrid, Spain. All of the connections I have to that country is just reduced to my birth certificate. So I'd rather just be in uncertainty here and fight for what is right and what is good instead of going to a country where I can't have the freedom to do that.
What do you want people to know about you and the other so-called dreamers who were brought here undocumented as kids?
Well, I want them to know that it's a fight. These are the most resilient people that you will meet. They're fighting every day for existence. They wake up, well, we wake up every day knowing that we are under threat of getting removed. We are not, like, the color of our skin, our names, our first and last names. We are so visibly, like, threatening as how the president has presented us or presented undocumented immigrants as an overall image of criminals. We are exposed every day when we walk down the streets, but we still fight and we still walk down the streets and we still go to class. And the day after Trump was elected, I remember that students were still going to school. Students were still like, I have lab at 4:50. Like, I have lab from 4:50 to 6:20. I can't stop and cry. Like, I need to do school. I need to do my homework. I need to go meet with my professors. We are resilient and we will act like everything is fine all the way, because we will not let the other side win. We will not let bigots and demagogues silence us like we've been silenced for so long. We've never experienced this. Not even under Bush was this threat of existence. We've never experienced this. So we're just going to go on with our lives and we're going to continue. And we're just going to continue fighting for what's right and what's good.
Graciela, do you ever think, I got to start calling myself Grace? I got to lose what accent I have left. You know, does that ever go through your mind, or friends of yours?
I did do that.
You did?
I did. Oh my God. In high school, I was called Grace. That was my nickname because I just wanted to make it easier for people. But then, like, the few times that I said Graciela, like, oh, my name's Graciela, people would always say, oh, that's a beautiful name. That's a beautiful name. And then obviously in college, I was just like, okay, this is such a beautiful name. Why am I going with something? I mean, I love all the Graces of the world, but why am I going with something so basic when I have Graciela? Like, that's my name. And my parents didn't migrate here. We haven't put ourselves on the line just for me to change my identity. No, that's not my identity. My identity is Graciela, and it's also my grandmother's name. So I uphold her memory through who I am. So I will never change that. And the accent I have, I mean, who speaks two languages fluently and who can read and write them like I can and like many others can? People usually take 2 years of Spanish and they never remember it again. Like, I live with two identities and I think that's a gift.
Graciela Nunez Pargas is a recent graduate of the University of Washington, and she's a DACA enrollee who lives in Tukwila. KUOW's immigration team is looking at the impact of the Trump administration on the lives of immigrants and refugees and the rest of us here in the Puget Sound region. To hear more stories and to share your thoughts, visit KUOW.org.